It's good to see everyone this morning. Appreciate you being here. We also appreciate those that are tuning in remotely to worship God with us here at Tanner. We appreciate the opportunities that we have to reach out to people wherever they may be. And a couple of things, housekeeping before we start. Our sympathy is extended to Elliot Agee as well in the passing of his brother, James, who'd been confined to a healthcare facility for some time. His health had been falling and failing, and he also passed with pneumonia. And so we're saddened by that loss, and our sympathy to Kay, and I mean to Elliot and his family in that. An update on Brother Henry. He went to Medical East yesterday morning, and they sent him to Athens Emergency Room. He was there for a long time, and they gave him treatments for his breathing and everything and sent him home. And Henry was not able to go home, ladies and gentlemen, but they sent him home. I cannot believe that, but it disturbs me badly. But then last night, he was just struggling to breathe so badly that they went to the Madison Hospital emergency room, and he's still there. They don't have a bed yet for him or a room yet for him, but they're keeping him in the hospital and treating him with the same treatments that he would get if he was up on the floor. But he's still in the emergency room at Madison Hospital. So we do need to continue to remember Henry in our prayers. This is a scary time, and when you can't breathe, and that's his problem, he can't breathe. When you can't breathe, there is nothing more frightening and frustrating than when you just cannot breathe. And I know exactly what that feels like. But I'm just thankful that he is getting care. And Madison Hospital is a very good hospital. And I just hope and pray that he'll be back with us soon. So just keep him and that family in your prayers as well. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, this will be our text this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. This is a very different Christmas, isn't it? Different time of different this year for some reason. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to read the text this morning. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This text has far-reaching implications and application. Its initial application was to the children of Israel. It had an initial application to them that no longer would they be under the burden of the law, but that they would have a Savior, a Redeemer, that would come and rescue them from the oppression, from the bondage that sin had cast upon them. But the far-reaching effect of this prophecy is that it applies to us and to all men everywhere. That we have the opportunity that the rod of our oppressor may be broken, that the staff of his shoulder may be cast off, the yoke of his burden may be cast off. And this indeed is a great promise that God is giving, that we can be free when we were in bondage. And of course, last Sunday, the lesson was, I will remember the sins against them no more. And this is a follow-up to that. But it is Christmas time once again. And it does feel very different, probably because everything we're familiar with has had to be set aside this year. Some families will not even be able to get together from different parts of the country coming together. That's not going to happen for a lot of folks. And our lives have had to adjust to a modified way of living under these current conditions. And there are still shortages. There are still lots of shortages. And yet the shopping has still been quite intense. A lot of mail order shopping and a lot of presents being shipped in the mail instead of families making long journeys for the holidays. And yet we still embrace the joy of the season, don't we? The festive attitude is still present. Families are still trying to get together whenever possible. And the children are all so excited, their eyes are filled with wonder, just like at any other time. They don't see all that we adults seem to be afraid of. Christmas is a magical time of year, with the lights and the ornaments and the trees, with the songs and the presents and all those wonderful traditions. But there's something behind all this that's on the minds of people. Something very serious and something just as magical. Something that affects all mankind. And now I'm talking this morning, and the title of my lesson is The Baby, the Blood, and the Birth. The Baby, the Blood, and the Birth. The Baby. A baby was born that changed everything. Isaiah said in Isaiah 7 verse 14 that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And we find the fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now we have no idea when Jesus was born. We really don't have any idea of the date. It was very unlikely that it was December 25th. I did some research this week on weather patterns in that part of the world, and it is cold at night. I'm talking cold. And so they would not be having sheep, flocks of sheep, out in the field by night. They would have them in a pasture, in an enclosed area. They would not have them out just in an open field in those kind of conditions. They would have had those flocks confined. So those shepherds would not have been laying outside, camping out December the 25th, not in that region of the world. Not going to happen. So it was very unlikely that it was in the month of December that Jesus was born. But we do know why Jesus was born. We may not know when, but we do know why. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Jesus was born in order that he might be like his brethren, and that he would be able to make propitiation to satisfy God's demand for justice, to satisfy the demand of God for payment for sin. Jesus would make that payment for the sins of the people. Now that's according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. So we know why Jesus was born, the baby. But that brings us to the blood. Now many have died violent deaths over time. Wars have resulted in the shedding of an almost endless river of blood throughout history. Daniel prophesied of four great empires that would rise. Babylon was the first, having conquered the Assyrians, and it was then itself conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire, and that empire fell to the Greek Empire led by Alexander the Great. When he died, then his empire was broken up into four different parts, and ultimately, the weakened Greek, try saying that three times fast, Danny, you know, the weakened Greek empire fell to the Romans about 145 years before Jesus was born, okay? So I'm just giving you some sort of a time frame. This is all that 400 years of silence that we talked about, oh, several weeks ago. That during that period of time, you have the rise and fall of two different empires. The rise and fall of one and the rise of another, which is the Roman Empire. But here's the point. Wars went on throughout that whole time period. And most people that died in those, obviously those that died in war died of violence. But other than wars, many, many people died by execution. They were put to death by the government, by the military. And the form of execution that the Romans perfected was crucifixion. You've heard the word excruciating. How's that pain level? Oh, it's excruciating. The word excruciating comes from crucifixion, which means literally out of the cross. So pain that came from a cross, that's the word excruciating. Untold multitudes have faced violent death throughout the centuries, and yet no death has shaken the world as dramatically as that of Jesus Christ, because the death of Christ changed forever the way man had to face death. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus. Now, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 is a basis for this point. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. I'm giving you the blood of these animals, these sacrificed animals. That blood is given to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now this is a great truth, and it's one that's lost on many people today, that a lot of folks just don't seem to grasp the connection of blood with forgiveness, of blood with atonement, or paying the price, the demanded price for forgiveness of sin by God. The blood of animals was given as a substitutionary payment until the time of the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. So the blood of these animals that went on for well over 1,500 years, it was during the law of Moses, that was the 1,500 years, but do you remember when Adam and Eve the sacrifices were made? Henry made this point. A sacrifice was made by God, the animals, that God took their skins, but those animals were sacrificed and their blood was sacrificed to help Adam and Eve not be put to death at that moment. It was made as a payment for sin. And there's speculation about Cain and Abel's offering. If it was a sin offering, then Cain was supposed to offer a blood offering. If it was not a sin offering, if it was some other offering, then that's a whole different discussion. But throughout history, from the beginning of time, blood has been used to make atonement for sin. Animals had to die to pay for sin. And ultimately, it was blood that brought about that atonement. And yet, Hebrews 9 and verse 12 says, not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of Jesus was different than the blood of bulls and goats. It says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Hebrews 9 verse 22. But we find in Hebrews 10 verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Henry made a point last week. He called me after the sermon, and he said, Robert, that was a good sermon. He always says that. I pay him well to say that. But he said, that was a good sermon, but there's one point you could have made that probably would have been great. I wish I had made it. This point about remembering their sins against them no more, there was an annual remembrance of sin. Every year there was a remembrance of sin. That's why the Israelites had to continue to offer sin offerings to keep the guilt of their sins basically pushed ahead. Pushed ahead. That was that remembrance of sin that happened every year. And they had to make a new sacrifice every year. So that remembrance. And so when God says, I will remember their sins against them no more, that has a very big significance to the children of Israel who was having to offer these sacrifices continually. We've not had to deal with that, so it's not something that would be easily seen by us or thought about by us. But that was a major impact for the children of Israel, a major impact. So anyway, the point is that without the blood of bulls and goats, sin's not going to go away, but the blood of bulls and goats will not take away sin permanently. There's going to be a remembrance. And so the Hebrews 9:12, it was not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood that he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus only had to die the one time. He is truly the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, its purpose is to remind us of the blood that was shed for us, of the life that was given for us. In Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then finally, Colossians 1 verse 20, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. God made peace between himself and man by the blood of the cross of Jesus. God made peace with man. You'll recall in Ephesians, we talked last week about from the book of Ephesians, how that we were by nature the children of wrath. Because of our sin, we were by nature, in other words, all we had to look forward to because of our sin, all we had to look forward to was the wrath of God. That's all we had to look forward to. We couldn't expect God to be merciful. We couldn't expect God to be gracious. We couldn't expect God's forgiveness. All we could expect because of our sin, because of our guilt, all we could expect was the wrath of God. And my friends, that's all the world can expect today. People today, they just live their life. They do what they want to do. They live any old way they want to live. They will pay their debts or they won't. They will treat people right or they won't. They will do what they choose to do with no thought about the fact that the only thing they have to look forward to after this life is the wrath of God. That's it. There is no mercy. There is no grace. There is no forgiveness. There's nothing for them if they will not come to God in faith and allow the blood of Jesus to take away their sin. They have nothing to look forward to but the wrath of God. But God, through the blood of Christ on the cross, has made peace between man and himself, those that will come to him. So we asked the question this morning, why was the baby born? And then after just 33 years of living on this earth, why did he die? And that brings us to the third point, the birth. Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross so that we could be reborn, so that we could be born again. That's why Jesus did this, so that we could have a new beginning, a fresh start. This year is winding up. Aren't you glad? This has not been a great year. I have decided, Larry, that I am going to be 64 again next year because I didn't use this year. Why should I have to count this birthday? That's the way I'm just going to stay 64 another year. I'll be 64 2 years and I'll just skip 65 altogether. How's that? Because I didn't use it. It's like this year was just wasted. What happened? I'll be so glad when this year is over, and I'm so excited about 2021, a new beginning, starting over. Folks, that's what this rebirth is, this new birth, this being born again. That's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man is lost because of sin, cut off, separated from God. Apart from God, man has only one destiny, hell. That's it, the wrath of God. That's the natural result of living a life of disobedience to the Lord, the wrath of God. That's all you have to look forward to. So this is why the baby, and this is why the blood, to save lost man's by means of the birth. On the day of Pentecost, Peter is standing before this crowd of people. Thousands and thousands of people have come together to find out what's going on. What's this cause, this huge noise, this extremely violent wind that we're hearing, and yet the leaves of the trees are not even moving? What's going on? So they're coming to find out, and Peter stands up and preaches to them and shows them who Jesus really is, that he is the Son of God. And he shows them that you have killed, by your wicked and cruel hands, you have killed the Son of God. And so they cry out, "What are we to do?" And Peter tells them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2, verse 38. As to put it another way, as Jesus had said to Nicodemus, born of water and the Spirit. John 3, verse 5. Now, we've already learned that by means of the blood, man received the forgiveness of sins. That's how you were saved. Last Sunday, Maria was born again. She was buried with Christ in baptism and raised up to walk in newness of life. She was born again. Adam was born again just recently. This is that new birth that we're talking about. This is how forgiveness came for you. And this is how it came for all those people from that day of the day of Pentecost all the way till now and all the way through the end of time. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption through his blood. Back to Acts 2. "And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation," this generation that by wrath has only one thing to look forward to, or by nature has only one thing to look forward to, the wrath of God. "Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them," verse 40 and 41 of Acts chapter 2. You see, Jesus died for all men, but only those who will receive him, only those who will accept him, that he is the Son of God, who will believe in him and submit themselves to him by repenting of their sins, confessing his name, being baptized for remission of sins. Only those who will do this will receive the forgiveness of sins. They're the ones who enter into Christ. They're the ones who are entered into his blood. And of course, this is what Romans 6 is making us extremely clear. In Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The newness of life comes just as Jesus was raised from the dead. When we are raised up from that watery grave of baptism, we are raised up to walk in newness of life. The newness of life takes place when we believe and repent and are baptized. That's when the newness of life takes place, not before, not until. The end result for those who will gladly receive his word is a birth, being born again. The end result is that you will no longer be by nature the children of wrath. You are born again. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're children of God, and thus there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 1. And so what a joyful thing it is, what a wonderful thing it is to know that we have been redeemed, that the payment for our sin has been paid by the precious blood of Jesus. A baby was born and lived and died shedding his blood so that we could be born again, so that we could have eternal life. That's why it happened. And that's when you experienced that. You received him, accepted him as Lord over your life by believing in him, by repenting of your sins, by confessing your faith in him, by being baptized for remission of sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. When you did that, it all fit together the way God had planned. From the Garden of Eden till the end of time. From the day of Adam's beginning until Jesus returns again, time sits bracketed between those two points. When God created all things, and when God will destroy all things. Life, God gave man life, and he's offering man eternal life if we will trust in him, do his will, believe in him enough to submit to him and obey his commandments. As we sing the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So there was a baby, and there was blood, and there's a new birth. And that is awaiting you if you're not a Christian. You have the opportunity to obey the gospel, to become a child of God. If you're not a Christian, you can become a child of God today. You don't have to wait. Everything is ready if you are. The Lord is ready. He made all things ready many, many, many years ago. And when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he paved the way for you to have that same thing happen for you. You can become a child of God today. If you're already one of his people, but you've not been faithful to him, you've not been following through, you've been rebellious or cold-hearted or just indifferent, you need to repent. You need to wake up and realize your life hangs in the balance. And if you don't walk in the Spirit, if you don't walk according to the Spirit, the teachings, the commandments given by the Holy Spirit, we find them in God's Word. If you don't live by this, you're walking according to the flesh, and you do not have forgiveness of sins. You do not have eternal life. You do, however, have condemnation. And so you need to repent and rededicate yourself to him. Whatever your situation, if we can help you to be right with God, I hope and pray that you will not leave here today. I hope and pray that you will not pillow your head tonight without making sure that you are ready to meet the Lord, because that day is going to come whether you're ready or not. And it will come sooner than you think. And so it's a good idea to just get ready and stay ready. So whatever your need today, we invite you to come if you need to as we stand and sing.